You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn. Roll away the dawn and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all?
Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. This is Tuesday, and it is the 28th of December in the year 2004. We're coming up on to a beginning of another new year, aren't we, ladies and gentlemen? I will begin right now, first of all, of course, with our spiritual message, and this is a familiar one, John 18, and beginning with verse 36, with 35. Pontius Pilate, talking to Jesus, asked, he said, "Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" I want you to know, by the way, I am reading from a King James version. I just take out the these and thous as I'm reading, folks. I'm not reading from a New International Version, etc. Not that probably doesn't make that much difference, but just for your information, I just take out the these and thous. So he said, "Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And then in verse 37, Pilate said, "Well, are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." That is very relevant to me. I want to make an announcement here. I received a call from Ted Pike today, Reverend Ted Pike. He was on with us, I guess it was last week, and talking about the hate crime laws. And he wanted for me to let you all know, any of you who have the Fox News Network, I believe, Bill Riley on Fox News on January 3rd. I do not remember the man's last name, and I didn't write it down. I did. It's out in the kitchen. This is the man who was arrested and charged with something like 4 felonies and 3 misdemeanors because they were picketing against a homosexual outing. A hate crime. They were charged with hate crimes, with lots of things. And his lawyer is going to be on Bill Riley on January 3rd on Fox News Network, for any of those of you who might want to tune in. And the trial, by the way, their trial starts on January 5th. That would be next Wednesday. And Ted Pike will be with us, sharing with us whatever he gleans from what begins. Folks, this is serious. Real serious. I want you to think about what this is about. So there's a homosexual. These people, I've seen videos of them walking down the streets with all their sexual movements and their innuendos and their blatant, perverted sexual actions. And that's okay. But somebody who is standing on the street and who is protesting with signs, and evidently he had a bullhorn that was a dangerous weapon, or it was something that could cause harm. I forget what it is, but please think about about this. This is in Pennsylvania, and it's because of the state hate crime laws that this is happening. I want to remind you, too, in case I forget later on, that on Thursday nights, Jeff Bennett is our guest host on Sweet Liberty. And Jeff, as most of you know, but some of you may not, we have broadcasted Monday through Thursday. Broadcasted? Is that a word, Alan?
No.
Oh, okay. Since mid-1998, but we were getting so far behind in our airtime bill that I was going to have to fold up the broadcast. And when I made that announcement, Jeff came forth and suggested that he would take the Thursday slot, which he is paying for, as a guest host. And so, and he has been very, very, very supportive of, in fact, I felt like sometimes when I listen to the way he promotes Sweet Liberty, that I should be paying him. And so on Thursday nights, you will be listening to Jeff Bennett, and I hope you tune in. I've sent an email to Darren, our webmaster, for those of you who have Internet access, to ask him to pull up the archives of the Thursday broadcasts that Jeff has done up to this point and to archive them at the sweetliberty.org website. So when he gets a chance to do that, if you did miss it, if you have Internet access, you will be able to listen to the broadcasts there. And I want you to know, I want to thank all of you. We have new listener sponsors to this broadcast, and I want to thank each and every one of you who are coming forth. It looks as a possibility by the end of this month that I will have, at least we're close right now, to $3,000 to send to WWCR for our airtime, which takes another big, huge chunk out of it. We are backlogged in our airtime bill with WFAR. Nicholas has never said a word, although I know that it costs to air this broadcast on the Internet and all the equipment and et cetera. So my hope is that soon I'm going to be able to begin sending him some money to get that squared away also. And folks, for those of you who are coming forth, bless you. God bless you. Thank you. And you do know that you have my respect. And I mean that sincerely, because as we give, so shall we receive. And so that you obviously are willing to participate in something that you feel is worthwhile. And I do appreciate it, and I do respect you. And while I'm at this, let me give you my address real quickly, and then we'll get Alan Watt is with us. The address is Jackie Patru, P-A-T-R-U, P.O. Box 190, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, M-I-L-L-E-R-T-O-N, Pennsylvania, 16936. And Alan, if you will give me just another minute or so, there's something I wanted to address, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff called me today. We had a conversation, and he mentioned to me, he did not say this out of meanness or anything, it was just part of our conversation, that he said that he had had people say to him, comment, that the problem with listening to Sweet Liberty is that I am such a downer. And I was surprised to hear that, although it was, and I wasn't offended. And I do know absolutely that he did not say that to, quote, hurt my feelings or anything else. It was just part of our conversation. I want to say this to you, for those of you who feel that listening to Sweet Liberty is a downer or that I'm a downer, there may be times when in my voice I sound like I'm, quote, down. And then if I sound like I am, it's probably because I am. This is not an exciting thing that we're doing, other than the excitement maybe would be in the opportunity to present truth as we know it, as we're discovering it, as it's unfolding. But what is happening in this world, I find nothing uplifting about it. The plan that is ongoing for the minds and the souls of the people in this world. And so therefore, I just wanted to say that if I sound down sometimes, it's probably because I am, because sometimes the sadness, it's difficult sometimes to be able to step outside of it and not have the deep sadness that is there within me for what is happening and the lies that we have all been born into. That angers me, and I am also saddened by it, because I've said that my life search has been a search for spiritual truth, and why we with these quote churches, with these holy book, and all of these holy men who are out there in the churches supposedly leading their flocks to where, I don't know. We have had to search for spiritual truth because it has been hidden from us. And that's what I wanted to say. And Alan, thank you for your patience, because I've been 10 minutes here.
No, it's an interesting place to even start, you know.
Pardon?
It's an interesting place to start. It's odd that someone would complain about a person or a program being down, when the whole of the shortwave is generally an awful lot worse in what they reveal, you know, as to the agenda.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, there are programs on, one in the morning for 3 hours and another guy on for 3 hours later on, and it's just bad news after bad news after bad news. And in between them, as you say, they have the holy rollers who are either welcoming what's happening to the world and its takedown, because it's just so wicked and evil, except for those guys themselves, those preachers. And another Christian bunch are happy, just so happy that it's all in God's hands. So,
yes, that,
really,
this is God's plan?
It's God's plan, yeah. So, I mean, you know, for anyone to complain that the show's down, I wonder what else they're listening to.
I don't know.
On the shortwave.
I wasn't offended. I really, when he told me that, you know, I mean, sometimes we can fake to ourselves.
Yeah.
I felt nothing. I mean, not any anger or upset or, I thought, wow, that's amazing.
Well, what you could do, you know, is get some bells and whistles and funny sounds and intersperse them between, you know, vocals and so on, and a few comical songs in between, and maybe that would brighten it up. You know. Oh, wait a minute, that's done already, sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know, I told Jeff, you know, we were talking about some people say, well, we, those of us on the shortwave and et cetera, that we talk about all the problems, we never talk about solutions.
Yeah.
I have been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I do stand by is that if a person is going to get involved, it's in our own backyard. And I do know that it begins with us first, period.
Mm-hmm.
But on a political level, the most powerful work can be done on a political and at a state level. As I was explaining to Reverend Ted Pike, he wanted us all to call the Congress. Well, my God, he already told us that 48 of the states have passed the hate crime laws.
Sure.
So why would we call the Congress? But I told Jeff today, I said, where I'm at right now, and I am moved from within to where I'm at. I cannot imagine anything more important that we could offer our listeners than an opportunity to come out of the lies, Alan.
Yeah, and they truly are in the lies. The fact is that politics is not only corrupt, everybody involved in politics has been already selected and pre-selected before they're put up for election, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like that for centuries. That's the bottom line, you know.
And they follow somebody else's orders.
Yes, they do. They're hand-picked for it. And there's not a single one up there in the Senate who isn't a Mason. Yeah.
Or Senate or House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen, I mean, we've had enough time to see what happened to Congressman George Hansen when he was telling the truth about the money system.
Yeah.
They literally sent a helicopter and picked him up off the steps of a building wherever he was doing his speech. And they took that man away, and for a long time nobody even knew where he was, because they were, do they call it railroading, or taking him from one prison to another. The man was tortured, not maybe with burned matches, etc., but in Lake Chains. This is a U.S. representative, and handcuffs and leg chains for hours without being able to get up and use the bathroom. And look at what happened to Jim Traficant, Congressman Jim Traficant. And there's another one, Wes Cooley, Congressman Wes Cooley in Oregon. He almost went to prison with false charges because he wouldn't play the game up there. So I've been long enough in this that I have seen that calls to the U.S. Congress are, I know that people who do it, I mean, Alan, I was there and done it, but it's futile, because they will do what they are told to do, or they're going to get killed, or they're going to get sent to prison.
Or loss of money, that's a big one.
Yeah, well, those
God
are the...
God gives and God takes away, and there's not one of these characters who got up there and became wealthy that didn't have the doors open for them.
Right.
And just as easily, those doors can be closed, and they all know that.
Yeah.
Because this is a complete system we live in of control. It's complete. Money is the key, because everything revolves in the world on money, not on food or clothes, but on money. And everybody's in the pocket of the bankers, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they can be made to be, they can have their loans foreclosed just in an instant if they don't play the game, and they all know it. But mind you, because they've been selected and psychologically tested, etc., that's why they're up there. They do play the game, and they enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I recall, this seems almost unbelievable, it was a newspaper article. Not that everything in the newspapers is true, but sometimes they do report the news.
Uh-huh.
The judge that in Colorado that was going to be hearing the Tim McVeigh trial.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on behind the scenes before he straightened his act up, but just before the trial, his daughter was in Hawaii, and Alan, she accidentally fell into a volcano.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And this judge, during that trial, admitted no evidence whatsoever that would have exonerated Tim McVeigh.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what they do.
Yeah.
And I don't know where we got on, where we were talking about these creatures.
Well, they talk about shortwave itself is has its fronts as well. There's no doubt about it. There are people on shortwave radio who are definitely fronts for the system. Although they play supposedly against the system, they do bring people down psychologically by overwhelming people with the enormity of all of this. On the other hand, people have to know what the agenda is, because ultimately whatever decisions are made boils down to the individual.
Yes, and we are every day, at every moment, in a sense, well, maybe not in a sense, but actually faced with choices.
Mm-hmm.
But we should think ahead of time.
Yep.
About what the possibility is. And, you know, I cannot think of anything more exciting, if you would, to realize, to become aware of the fact that we are one with our Creator, and the power within us, and to know that we don't have to pray to a saint.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do 1,000 rosaries.
Yeah.
We don't have to jump through hoops to be in touch.
Or over goats.
Huh?
Or over goats.
Over goats.
Yeah, it's amazing. So.
Yeah, to know the truth of that, to me, is the most important, and it's what helps for me. It's what helps me to continue on, Alan.
Yeah.
Knowing that.
Mm-hmm. It's also odd that so many people who worship the exoteric Jesus to their churches seem to miss all the vital parts that are in the New Testament. they missed the point that he came as a man of sorrows. He wasn't jumping up and down and saying, let's all be happy, you know, as they do in the churches. Or at least the churches have turned into those kind of churches. And the reason he was a man of sorrows is because he was conscious. And because he was conscious, he knew the state of the world in his own day. And it was completely corrupt as it is today. And he knew the suffering of the people because of the corruption. And nothing has really changed. And his message was not, just be happy. That was not the message. But this cultural Christianity that's been an invention over the last 100 years, basically, has altered the functions and the purposes of the churches.
Yes, and then people celebrate in their churches and in their hearts, I guess, what is happening today, because they truly believe that it is the plan of a loving Heavenly Father Creator.
Yeah.
And they say, and I remember Rick Wiles.
Uh-huh.
He was on, in fact, this time in this frequency. And before I came here, he is doing something on TV now, I believe. But anyway, I heard him say one time, I know what's happening out there. I see it. And da-da-da-da-da. And he went on to say, and then he said, but I'm not concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know Jesus is coming back. And he's going to establish his throne in Jerusalem. And I am going to be in the front row or something like that. And then he's going, come Jesus, come Lord Jesus. So in other words, basically what the man was saying is, be joyous,
mm-hmm.
because all that is happening because the time is near.
Yeah.
And now we'll have a kingdom on earth. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you talk about, when you mentioned what they miss,
yeah.
or what they don't discuss,
mm-hmm. Well, really, they can't discuss it because they know deep down, if they really consciously take time and think about certain things, that what they're really doing is going along with a culture and not a truth. And it's a culture which was created for them to keep them to be happy sheep, you see, who are grazing. And, of course, sheep are meant to be slaughtered. That's the whole point of being a sheep, you know.
Yes, and I would like to remind, because a lot of our listeners have missed broadcasts that we've done, and I recall one time when, and I've seen the photographs, the pharaohs had the shepherd crooks.
Yeah.
They have the statues or engravings or whatever, and what you explained is, well, you explain it if you would, Alan, because
yeah, you'll see all the pharaohs with their arms crossed in front of their chest. And that symbol is the symbol of X, which is the illumined man, even today. And in each hand, they have, in one hand, they have the short symbol, not the long crook, but it's a stylized crook.
A what?
Shepherd, and in the other hand, he has the rod to beat you. And of course, the whole idea is, through law, is to coerce people into going along. And they use the crook, in other words, that's the symbol of the crook for the shepherd. And if the sheep don't go along, then you beat them with the rod, and that's called force, you know. So nothing has changed today. All laws are put out there in the full knowledge that 90% of the public, no matter what the law is, will obey it automatically.
You mentioned one time that you didn't believe that Jesus referred to us as sheep, because
I can't see it because
it would be a tremendous insult.
Yeah.
Because sheep are so stupid,
mm-hmm.
that the shepherd's crook is used. If they get themselves in a corner, they don't even have enough sense to back up. They just stand caught.
Yes.
And they reach out with that crook and they pull them out of the corner that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, you talked about the word repent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talk about that, please.
Well, to repent also is a compilation of pent, which was the pent-upness of an animal or a group of animals that were ready to be captured. And in ancient times, they used to come around coastlines, and literally men with nets would circle little islets, and they would pen up the sheep, and that's why you have Pentland.
You have what? That's why you have what?
A place called Pentland, you know, Pentland Firth and Pentland Forth.
Pentland?
Uh-huh, that's where the ships came in.
Oh, Pentland.
And that's where they raided the coastline for sheep, for not for sheep, but for slaves, basically. And so they would literally net them. And that's where the whole idea of penning sheep came from.
And repent?
Repent, yeah. Repent is again, it's symbolic of an esoteric meaning. It's like regenerate, go out and regenerate or repopulate the world in Genesis. And you have repent, so that which is done once can always be done again,
mm-hmm.
if you use the same techniques over and over and over.
What
which
did
is
you,
exactly what law is.
What did you say the other day that Genesis...
Oh, it's the gene of Isis.
Gene of Isis.
Yeah.
And I want to remind our listeners that Israel... is actually a three-part word, Isis, Ra, and El.
Yeah. yeah. And that was common in the Kabbalah and the Talmud, which came from Babylon, was to use one or two letters of each word and make a new word from them. That was very common, you know. And of course, you also used the same technique when you were pointing out opposites, because they have an agenda, and they've had it for thousands of years, and they talk about using the laws of nature to bring about the agenda.
The laws.
And in nature, you have spring, and you have the fall, and you have summer, and you have winter. So you have opposites. So they literally create the opposites to create conflict, which brings change, which they then direct into their agenda. And so that's why they created the U.S., And the Soviet...
The U.S.?
And its opposite, supposedly, the Soviet Union. U.S.S.U.
Oh, my.
You see?
And U.N.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is one. It's the French word for one. So everything is in front of our faces if we care to see it.
Mm-hmm. Something I've noticed
mm-hmm.
in newspapers and reports, etc., the U.N. isn't U period, N period.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a plain old capital U, capital N.
That's right.
And I've noticed sometimes they're doing that with the U.S. now.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Us.
Mm-hmm. Us. That's right. And it's interesting that the main password in the time of Franklin and Washington and Voltaire and so on for Masons was NOU, which is N-O-U-S, which came from the Greek. And then it goes into the French for the same meaning, actually. And it means us. That was their password.
Us?
Us, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's for, you know, they play these games all down through history. And, of course, most children can't figure it out. And they have no reason to figure it out. They think if there's anything worth knowing, the teacher's going to explain it to them.
That's right.
But you find the teachers don't know themselves. In the times of John Dee, for instance, who basically was a high Kabbalist in Queen Elizabeth I's government, and he's also a spy in Europe for her, his code number was 007.
James Bond.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my, Alan.
And John Dee himself created the term, the British Empire, and even Britain.
Empire.
And British means...
Okay, hold this, because we're going to take our 60-second break.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember what you were saying, so they'll hear you on the other side.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't take my address down when I gave it earlier, get to them, please, if you would like to become part of this broadcast. Listener sponsors 6.5 years, and you are the listeners who are sponsored. We'll be right back with Alan Watt.
what in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite to Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, we're back with Alan Watt. And folks, while you have your pen in your hand, I hope, or near you, I want to remind you that Alan has the two booklets that we have discussed that he has put together. For those of you who were not listeners in 98 when Alan first began coming on with us, they are $20 each. And for those of you who would like to have some type of confirmation, there's oftentimes Alan will, and especially when he was first on with us, I probably said, I don't know, at least a dozen times, just because Alan Watt says this doesn't mean it's true. And I'm saying that because I have not researched it, but we would have to do our own research. And the next thing you know, I began getting emails and packages mailed to me, people saying, look at this, look at this, look at this. It's exactly what Alan was talking about. And it was difficult. I went through a time period where when it's so difficult to grasp the enormity of the lie that we have literally been born into. History is not what we've ever been told. There was a time and a period of time, and I told Alan this, that I feel like I'm in another world someplace, and everything I look at looks unreal to me. In fact, Alan said, well, that's a good place to start. And this, the booklets that he put together go a long way toward giving evidence and confirmation of some of the statements that he makes that sound so out of it that it's we would have a tendency maybe sometimes to set it aside or put it away or let it go in one ear and out the other. And that's one thing that I have never done, is just say, okay, I don't believe that, and then let it go. It's important for us to keep in our minds and do our own research if possible, and take advantage of the research that others have done. And this is what Alan has put together in the booklets. $20, it has to be either FRNs or an international money order. And you shouldn't have book two without book one. You can order them both, or order the first one first. And I'm going to give you his address right now. It is Alan Watt, W-A-T-T, site 41, site S-I-T-E, 41, box 4, Esther, Ontario. It's Esther, like a stairway, E-S. Is that like Brother Stare, Alan?
It's more like Fred Astaire. Yeah.
Fred Astaire. There we go.
Only it's an E instead of an A.
Okay. It's Estaire, Ontario. And the postal code is P3E4N1. There's a letter and a number. P for Peter, 3, E Edward, 4. N Nancy 1, P3E4N1, and on the bottom line put Canada. And as I've mentioned before, you have to have your full name, first and last name, and full address, or the mail service in Canada, this is new, will not accept it. And this, within the last week and a half, I guess it's when I went up to mail a package to Alan, and our post lady brought out a brand new thing they had just received. I read it myself. So, once again, it's Alan Watt, Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, Ontario, P3, E4, N1, Canada. And it's $20 each for the booklets. And as Alan has said, if you cannot afford it, absolutely cannot afford it, send what you can and you'll get the book. If you would like to get in touch with Alan, his phone number is 705-695-0416. 705-695-0416. Okay, Alan.
Yeah, we were talking about John Dee.
Yes.
Coining the term British Empire.
And when was this?
That was in the 1500s.
1500s.
Mm-hmm. And John, and he says British. He said that hadn't been used before, really. And it's a compilation of two Hebrew words. And Brit means covenant, and Ishi means people. So obviously Britain had a different agenda from its very beginning than the average person who lived there ever knew.
Now, let me, did I hear this right? Brit means covenant,
uh-huh.
And Ish means people?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he said that, and this was also reiterated in the writings of Francis Bacon, who was around the same period. He said that we are creating the new language for the international language of the future, called English. Prior to that, really, English was a mixture of Germanic tongues and Celtic tongues. So they literally created the English language in that period. And then, of course, King James came out with the Bible to present it to the people. That was part of the reason for that Bible coming out then, with that particular type of language. And you find the same thing was going on in Germany with Luther and elsewhere. So they update the languages and change the languages through Bibles, basically.
You know, thank you for bringing this up. We were talking about this in a recent conversation, and I have a Geneva Bible here, which is allegedly a photocopy of the Geneva Bible,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't do the whole thing, you know, chapter and verse, but as I was picking at random different verses from different chapters and books, etc., I didn't find anything different. You mentioned that the footnotes had a lot to do with it. And
yeah, they put the comments and so on.
Okay, the comments on the side notes.
Mm-hmm.
But you said that Geneva Bible was Calvin's Bible?
No.
Okay, what did you say?
No, the Geneva Bible was put together by people who, exiles who left Britain, who were all Rosicrucians, basically, and who were putting out a Bible supposedly for the people, and they used other older translations, obviously, to put it together. And then they had changes in it too, because instead of king, wherever king was mentioned, they used the word power. For King James, since he was the representative of God, basically the sovereign, changed it all to king, you know.
You mean the man Cain?
No, king, yeah.
Oh, king.
Yeah. So James's version omitted power and simply put king in all those places.
How about the... But it's very much the same as the Geneva Bible, isn't it?
It's similar. It's a different flowery language. It's a more flowing, poetic type of
style. Okay, but are there different books in the Geneva Bible that weren't in the... what is the difference between the King James and how old is the Geneva Bible?
Well, that was put out not too long before King James's first edition. And they used to call it the Breacher's Bible.
The what?
The Breacher. Like breeches, you know?
Breeches?
Yeah. And the reason for it being is that...
like pants?
Yeah, because they changed the part about the fig leaf and so on for Adam or his loincloth into breeches.
Oh, did they?
For some reason. And so they called it the Breacher's Bible. Yeah. And I guess it was a play on preachers as well, you know.
Okay.
But, of course, in even older ones, and if you go through the different Aramaic texts, you'll find that it was the same square lambskin that the Masons use today.
His
yeah,
fig leaf?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So this has been on the go for a long time. But getting back to Britain, as I say, that was named British, you know. And
what was England called before it was called...
Well, England was just England. And Scotland was Scotland. And you had Ireland and Wales. And so they united it, and they called it the United Kingdom. And then in John Dee's day, they called it the British, or Great Britain. And the people were called British or Covenant people. And most of them don't even know that today.
And what is that supposed to mean, Covenant people?
Well, obviously there's a covenant here being brought into play that the people were unaware of, except those who did bring it into play. It had a mission to fulfill, in other words. And John Dee talked about that mission, that an empire would be created which would create encompass the whole globe and ultimately bring the whole world under this one governmental system. So it was written about in his day, you know. So it's interesting as well.
Was the same priesthood behind all this?
Same priesthood, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he read Hebrew and the Kabbalah. And he wrote it extensively about the Kabbalah, as did many of the later ones that came along after him. But
Alan, is the Kabbalah evil?
The Kabbalah is like all the writings. There's always an exoteric which most people pick up on, but they seldom see the esoteric. It takes almost a mindset to be able to pick out the real meanings underlying the initial writings. And so therefore the Kabbalah, coupled with the Mishnah, which is the oral tradition, supposedly.
The Mishnah Torah.
It's supposed to be the oral tradition given by the mythical Moses. In other words, here's a bunch of laws for the exoteric peoples, the people who will follow, and here's the explanatory notes that go into detail for the adepts, basically. You know, so it was a degreed system even back then. And coupled with the Kabbalah and underlying all its mysticism, you get underneath it, you'll find it's a system, basically. It's a coding type of thing and a system all to do with where this plan, the great work, is going. Yeah. And so,
when you mention coding, there are books out about the Bible codes.
Oh yeah.
And they, of course, I think most of it is in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it is pretty awesome the way they point out certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I was really, you know, impressed. And then I thought, well, the creatures that sat and penned all this, mm-hmm, had a reason for what they were doing.
Yeah.
But people, I know that people who have read these books on the Bible codes, and then you go back into the Old Testament and you go figuring out the different verses and say, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But it is their own secret little code. But see, I think a lot of people buy into it and say, well, this has to be the work of God.
I know, yeah. It doesn't matter what you see. Those people you have to just leave to their to their comfort, because that's their comforter. You know, that's all they have.
Well, you know what? I guess I can relate, because I have been taken in many ways throughout my life. There were certain things, like I said, when I was 15 years old and started reading the Old Testament, I said, no, this is not so. This is not God. And then, of course, what is that word God? It's a word they gave us. But I've been taken in. And then it takes somebody saying something sometimes, Alan, that if you don't just, you know, I've had a friend in Illinois, and we got into a discussion about the Bible, and he was very much into the every jot and tittle is the word of God. And I asked him how he, you know, how he explains all of the contradictions, et cetera, and doesn't he believe that it has been tampered with by man, it was written by man, and he said no. God would never allow it. So, but there are some people who will suddenly stop and say, wait a minute. You know, this makes sense to me, what you're saying.
What it is, though, that person is ready for it.
Yes, and maybe that's why we do these broadcasts, for those who have an eye to see and an ear to hear.
And it's a fact that the exoteric or cultural religions, and that's what I see around me, you know, are you're born into a cultural religion where there's formulas and baptisms and rituals, and that's you. You know, you're a Christian, and you parrot this and you parrot that. But you don't think, of course. And if you do think, you become a danger to the congregation, because you're not supposed to be a thinker. And, of course, we're meant to think, seek ye the truth. And meanwhile, you walk into a church and it's like picking a ready-made suit, you know. It's all there, it's for you. The pants are there, just the right size, so is the jacket. Wear this and you're one of us, you know. That's your ready-made religion. So where's the seeking for the truth in there?
Yeah.
The truth has to be truly sought, and you start with yourself. And, of course, that's always the first death, long before Jesus and the original religions. The first death was dying to the world, and it's also dying to the old self. And you can only die to the old self by examining yourself, and then the changes began within the person. And this was always known, of course, but now it's just a formula where you repeat after me, and that's it, you know.
A friend of mine, after Steve Jacobson was on in 1998, it had to have been sometime in the summer, because we were on at 6 p.m., he mentioned, we were talking, you know, about mind control, and I said, well, given that we're pretty clear that the government isn't going to set up deprogramming centers, you know, what do you have to offer our listeners? He said, well, unfortunately, most of people believe that we are human beings, when in fact we are spiritual beings, inhabiting or animating a physical body. And he said, in order to escape, not escape, but not submit to the mind control and the brainwashing, then we have to begin to go in within, because that is where the answers are. The truth is within us. And he said, meditate. And I knew the minute he said the word at that time that I was going to hear some back. and a friend called and said, I just love Steve Jacobson, but, oh, he's gone New Age on us. You know, he mentioned the word meditation. Yeah. I got in Strong's Concordance and found the word meditation about 18 or 19 times. Mm-hmm. But what she said is, we don't want to go delving into ourselves, because we are so evil and ucky yucky that it will just dredge up all that terrible stuff. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about examining ourselves, I've been doing this for a long time, And there are times when we see, I have an attitude here that needs to be changed, or question, why am I feeling this way right now? Why am I feeling angry? Or what is this feeling I'm feeling? Because it isn't peaceful. And so therefore we get a chance to really take a look at where we're at, what is pulling our strings, so to speak. And I think the most important thing for us to know, for our listeners, for all of us, is that who we truly are is a perfect creation of our Creator. And all of that ucky, yucky, yucky stuff that she said we wouldn't want to get into is exactly what we have to get into, knowing, if we know in our hearts that who we truly are, what we truly are, is a spiritual being in the image, if you would, or one with our Creator.
Yeah, that's pretty well the symbol of Jesus symbolizes the spiritual nature, the pure spiritual nature. And of course, Judaism represents the pure earthly physical nature.
Material.
Yeah.
I wonder if people notice this, Alan, that in the Old Testament, Jehovah promises his chosen people, all who do his commandments.
Yeah, it's like a mafia boss that says, you know, follow me and I'll take care of you.
Yeah, but it's all material rewards.
That's right. You'll prosper and live off the fat of the land. And so it's purely, Judaism is law and material. It's the rules of the physical life for the purely physical life. And the spiritual side doesn't come into it, at least not the Christian one anyway, or the Jesus one, put it that way. But going back to what we said earlier about the British, Dee claimed at the time that when the Romans came into Britain, there was one little tribe called Brittany, and that's why he used the name Brit. But really, the way he spelled it in his initial writings was Hebrew, so it was definitely covenant people. And when Reverend Pike comes on your show, you should ask him, because I think he knows that it's the B'nai B'rith, which is the sons of the covenant, that are putting these laws in front of the Congress and in all the other parliaments, and they're being signed into law. And the B'nai B'rith is the Jewish wing of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. I don't think he mentions that. So a Masonic group is writing laws for governments. You see?
You know what?
Yeah.
You're right. He does know that.
He does, okay.
Oh, yeah. But, well, he does know that it's the B'nai B'rith behind all this.
Yeah.
But
they are the Jewish wing of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jewish wing of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry.
That's right, yeah.
And
don't forget that Albert Pike, who was the head of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, in his own book Morals and Dogma, said, make no mistake, Masonry is a religion. So why is a religious body making laws for everyone else? You know, that's never been asked or challenged.
Well, it's like, what's his name, Moses Mendelssohn?
Mm-hmm.
Was that his name, Moses Mendelssohn?
Yeah.
That Judaism is not a religion.
Mm-hmm.
It is a law religionized.
Yeah.
And isn't that what you're just saying?
Albert Pike also said that, make no doubt about it, he said that Lucifer is God. So here's
he says that in Morals and Dogma?
Morals and Dogma, yeah.
Well, he is the Lord of this world.
Lord of the world, absolutely. That's Jehovah. That's the big secret, you know. That's the big secret that's been hidden from everyone for so long. In the beginning, there were gods, Elohim, which was plural. And eventually, this little earthly god, the volcano god, took over, you know.
The volcano god?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What, is that Jehovah?
That's Jehovah, yeah.
Well, actually, wasn't that like a phantom that the priesthood made up for people to worship?
Well, basically, the volcano symbolized again a pyramid with the top blowing, which is the fire in the middle, you know. And that's the symbol again of the logic. That's why Mr. Spock in Star Trek was a Vulcan. He ran on law and logic, you see. It's all symbolic. And if you look at the little badges they get and cards for their induction for the boys in Judaism when they're 12 or 13.
When they get bar mitzvahed.
Yeah, you'll see that right there, that's a symbol of a volcano blowing smoke, you know.
Is that right?
And that's a symbol of the... again, it's not a real people doing a real thing. It's a priesthood, not a big priesthood either, who's manipulated all the religions down through the ages. And it's all symbolic and allegorical of this priesthood. And that's why, you know, the volcano is the smoke by day and the fire by night.
You mean that's talked about in the Bible?
Yeah.
In the Old Testament?
That's right, yeah.
Smoke by day and fire by night.
Yep. And that's it's all symbolic and allegorical of an ancient priesthood that's many, many, many thousands of years old.
Older than the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
Older than, because they, like in the protocols, they say that, you know, the plan that they have been working toward for the past, I think they say either 20 or 25 centuries,
mm-hmm,
is about to come in, you know, to fruition. But actually, it is older than that, yes?
Oh, yeah, it's older, yeah. It's older, and apparently it's been tried before in different ages, you know.
Tried before and... not accomplished?
It gets to a certain point, then it gets demolished.
I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. They've never made it yet.
No.
And here we are still on the radio and still able to talk about it, Alan.
That's right.
Thank you for being with us tonight. Yes, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with you tomorrow night. Thank you for being here. And keep an open mind. And ask. Speak. And not. That's what Jesus told us to do. Seek ye the truth, and you will know the truth, and it will make you free. We'll be back with you tomorrow night. Thank you. Good night. Thank you, Ryan.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those...